Hey, podcast listeners, would you like to support the 4AM podcast in their podcast endeavors? Well, we have great news for you. We have just opened our merchandise store on Teespring. You can find us on Teespring at 4AM Podcast or go through our website at 4ampodcast.podbean.com.
Get some swag.
Get some cool swag. We got lots of merch there. We got t-shirts, we got hoodies, we got mugs, we got stickers, all kinds of cool stuff featuring inside jokes from our podcast and our podcast logo. And the best thing is, all of those proceeds help to support yours truly, the 4AM podcast.
Yeah.
And right now through January 1st, if you go to our store and buy some merch, either a shirt or hoodie or whatever, you can take a picture of yourself wearing your shirt and send it to us, and we'll make that count as a sponsored episode. You can tell us what episode you want to sponsor, and we'll put your episode on the sponsor list. For everybody else, if for whatever reason you don't want to buy any merchandise, but would still like to sponsor an episode, that means you tell us what we're going to watch. It's just $20 donated to our PayPal address, which you can find on our website. Again, that's 4ampodcast.podbean.com. Thanks for listening, guys, and enjoy the episode.
The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. Her first baby came out sideways, and she didn't scream or nothing.
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Robbins, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everyone. It's 4AM once again, and that means it's time for the 4AM podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I'm your host, as always, Tony. Joining me today is...
Your hostess, Cupcake Rob.
Brian.
All right. What he really wanted...
Joe would be here, but he got caught in a plane. And then he tried to get a bus, and that didn't work. And then he tried to drive,
but it didn't work. He'll make it. He called me from the Dallas airport, and he said he's going
to
make it.
I was trying to be funny, and it didn't work.
That's pretty much the tagline.
Actual tagline was, what he really wanted was to spend Thanksgiving with his family. What he got was 3 days with a turkey.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that the tagline?
Back in the laughter.
That movie where Big Bird runs away or something.
We should have watched Thanksgiving the other week.
No. Never.
Save that
again.
For next year. But we did watch Plane, Trains, and Automobiles from 1987, rated R, directed by John Hughes.
This is rated R?
One reason.
Yeah, for one scene.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
That many fucks is all it took?
Yep.
You get
one fuck.
One is all you get for PG-13.
Yeah.
Really? Then, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, that's why almost every PG-13 movie now has one in it.
Because they can.
Just because they can slide that under the radar.
What?
Mm-hmm. So John Hughes, you might know.
This movie sucked.
16 Candles. Does it suck, Brian?
They keep going. They suck.
Breakfast Club.
Sucks.
Weird Science.
Sucks.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Sucks.
She's Having My Baby.
Sucks.
Uncle Buck.
Sucks.
Wow.
Curly Sue.
Sucks.
All right.
Wow. See, the thing is, not every movie is for every person, okay? You can have a movie that the vast majority of people think is very good, but, you know, not everybody has to like it.
They don't actually suck. Before I get an email about Brian's taste in music, that's some bullshit. I mean, taste in movies and some bullshit.
I'm sorry, did you introduce yourself earlier as Quaaludes Rob?
No.
I'm
fine.
This is Roofie Rob.
Yeah, instead of margaritas, I'm going in a new direction. I'm trying some downers.
Okay.
Actually, it's more to do with my evacuating my body of all food materials within the last hour.
That's every week.
Yeah, but this time, the food that I evacuated was the only food I had in my body. Oh,
okay.
For a week. All right.
All right.
I'm just like, I'm on a plane, a train, and an automobile of just continuing illness.
Well, while you're dealing with all that, Brian, would you like to tell us what your history is with this movie?
I saw this movie as a kid, and I remember liking it. It's like John Candy. And I didn't see it a whole lot. Maybe not on like USA or TNT, one of those channels. So like, I don't remember all the fucks because they weren't there when I saw it. But yeah, I mean, I remember liking it as a kid, but like, again, because of John Candy, so I probably tuned out for most of the scenes that weren't John Candy.
Okay. Rob,
I think I'm about the same. Like, I've seen this a couple of times. Not, you know, not like it wasn't a go-to for me. Like, I enjoyed it at the time, but too. I would like to see the TV edit version of this. Like, I want to see what they did to change that one scene.
Mm.
Like, did they substitute words? Because that would be amazing.
I hope so. Yeah. Fingers crossed. Yeah, my history is about the same. Like, I know I've seen it in its entirety once, at least. I've probably come across it once or twice more. But when I first saw it, I was too young to kind of appreciate it for, you know, what it is. And it just never drew my attention enough to draw me back till now. So I haven't seen this in a very long time.
I mean, we're only watching it because, you know, we had a winner, our secondary winner for our Franchise Month contest. And that secondary winner was this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we know who supplied this one?
Yeah, it was Three Shell Joe.
Oh, right. Shout out to Three Shell Joe.
And again, my apologies to those of you who really like Warrior. It's nothing personal. Listen, when we finally get around to doing Jurassic Park, I'm going to rip that thing apart, too.
No, you're not.
I will. I got some words about Tim, all right?
Or that kid, I say in quotation marks from the beginning.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, don't take anything too personally. Even, you know, even good movies, we try and rip on them here. That's just what we do.
Prototype clone Rosie O'Donnell, beginning of that movie. Yes.
So anyway, brief history of this movie. John Hughes apparently admitted in an interview that he wrote this because he, in fact, had the situation happen to him where he had to take a flight from New York to Chicago and ended up in Kansas, and it took him 5 days to get home. He wrote the first draft of this movie in 3 days, which is possibly impressive or possibly shows a lack of effort, depending on how you're looking at it.
I mean, it's John Hughes. I have a feeling like most of his scripts are just like Mad Libs. He just changes the name and changes the verbs.
Oh, man.
That's possible. The exterior for the airplane, when we see it flying for a brief moment there in the storm, is actually reused footage from the movie Airplane.
Really?
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because they needed a plane in a storm. This movie also shared cinematic universe, or Hughesiverse, I guess, with She's Having a Baby, which is weirdly both happening in real life and on TV, which is a bit bizarre.
How would we know that this was a shared universe?
Okay. Like
what matched up?
Well, Kevin Bacon is in this, as well as She's Having a Baby. We see him as just a person on the street. You can actually hear him having an argument from the movie during one of the scenes where he's in the airport. So presumably the other side of that scene, I guess. But you also hear lines from it playing on the wife's TV when she's watching, waiting for Steve Martin to come home. So it's a little weird. But I imagine mostly just John Hughes trying to reuse stuff and save money, maybe.
Okay, so the wife is watching She's Having My Baby on TV.
It would seem so.
And then, I mean, we do have confirmation of this, or like...
Well, you can hear lines from it, yeah.
I don't know the lines of anything that well to be able to...
Well, I mean, if I knew the movie, I'm sure I could pick it out. She was watching, obviously, something, but...
Yeah. I mean, well, my research found it, plus I did recognize at least Kevin Bacon's voice. I don't know that movie well enough to know the exact lines, but...
Okay. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Well, she was watching Tremors.
That would be amazing. especially considering Tremors didn't come out until...
What if he had pre-written it?
Well, they were arguing about a girl and not how, you know, the baby. Yeah, they weren't saying the babies are coming out from under the ground.
Well, she was watching Footloose. So I just want to dance or whatever.
maybe they just wanted, what is his name, Walter, the owner of that place? They wanted him to take pictures of kids with the baby. I don't know.
Anyway, so, and of course, lastly, as we kind of already brought up, this movie got an R rating, although not in Norway, I believe it was. But most of the places.
How the fuck, they fuck a lot up there.
But most places this movie got an R rating was, of course, a 1 minute scene where the F word is used 18 times. That's a lot.
Fuck, motherfucker, fuck.
Yeah, that's right. The internet. There you go.
All right. So does anyone want to guess how much money this movie cost to make?
We'll just say 20.
I was going to say $15 million.
$30 million.
Wow.
They had to make everything, basically, because no, like, companies wanted to be part of this. It's like Delta doesn't want to be like, we don't want to be the shitty, you know, airplane, whatever. So, yeah. Cost a lot of money. And the train that they used is apparently still sitting somewhere in New York. But,
it's a hobo house now.
Probably. You want to guess at how much it made?
I was going to say $30 million.
I'll go with 40.
All right. Slight throw off here because I only have how much it made in the U.S., but supposedly it made 50 million.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Definitely, you know, did its job, made its money back. Where'd that money go, Brian? Who's in this? Two people.
Yeah. There's a big cast for this movie, but none of them are important. Only people who are important are Steve Martin, who plays Neil Page, and John Candy, who plays Del Griffin. That's it. That's all that matters. The camera's on them for the entire movie.
Yep. All right. So let's just dive into it, shall we? Before Rob falls asleep on us, apparently. Okay. So we start with Neil, who has a shitty job in cosmetics, I think he said it was.
It was advertising.
Yeah, it's some sort of advertising. I think it's like cosmetics advert. Like,
it's a cosmetic, like, advert.
Magazines, yeah, and stuff.
Gotcha.
Because it looked like they were trying to figure out the layout, yeah, of a magazine.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess. All right. But his boss called everybody in there just to have them sit quietly while he stares at some, you know, different possibilities for a few hours. And then's like, yeah, I can't decide. We'll figure it out after the holidays. So he sends them home.
Yeah, the whole point of the scene was to set up, like, he's trying to be on a flight by 6, mm-hmm, and the meeting is coming close to 6.
Yep.
Because the guy literally says no words the whole time, but for 3 hours, he says, and they have us sit here watching this happen for, like, you know, a good 5 minutes. Right. It feels like 5 minutes. No words. And so now he's set up, like, he's going to miss his plane if he doesn't hurry up and get there.
Yes. So he's going running out looking for a cab, which is not working out too well for him. As mentioned, he kind of chases, races Kevin Bacon for one cab, but he ends up tripping over a trunk, and that's, you know, he kind of takes note of, and ends up going to find another guy who has a cab and trying to barter with him so he can get the cab from him.
Yeah, he's like, $10 for your cab. The guy's like, $10 seems a little light. Well, how about 50? He goes, any guy who pays 50, he'll pay 75. Like, this guy's a dickhole.
What a douche. Yep.
But while that's happening, someone else puts this shit into the trunk and hops in the cab and drives the fuck off. Mm-hmm. Because fuck y'all. Y'all taking too long, it's New York City, fuck you.
Yeah. And we see once again it's that same trunk from earlier, gets loaded into the back, and they start driving away, which Steve Martin just fucking chases their ass down.
I don't get why. Like,
yeah,
just get another fucking cab, like, shit.
Or, for that matter, if you're going to start running like that, just fucking run down the sidewalk. Get to the thing yourself. Like, whatever. I mean, you probably can't get to the whole airport, but you know what I mean. Anyway, yeah, so he pulls open the door at one moment to see John Candy, so that they'll meet cute there. But they just drive away, so he's on his own. He does eventually get to the airport, but it's packed. He finds out his flight has been delayed because there's a big storm coming in.
Works out in his favor, I guess, because he didn't miss his flight. Otherwise, he would have missed it.
Yeah. Right.
You would think.
Yeah.
Eventually gets on the plane.
No, he's trying to be home by 9 to have dinner with his family.
First of all.
In Chicago.
So, it's like Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah.
We'll say, or the week of Thanksgiving, right? Mm. He's in New York. Presumably, his, I guess, shift, you know, it just seems like he's probably salaried, doesn't punch in and out, but it seems like his normal leave work time would be, what, 5? Probably like a 9-to-5
probably.
Job.
Yeah, probably.
And do you schedule your flight for 6 o'clock?
Months ahead of time, too.
Months ahead of time.
Maybe he's going to do a half day that day, maybe?
Maybe, but stay. I don't know. It seems like he did not give himself enough wiggle room,
yeah,
as a planner.
I suppose, but I mean, we also were clearly given the idea that this meeting or whatever wasn't supposed to go on for 3 hours or whatever it ended up they said it was. So
it also seems like it's the type of thing that he you know, happens all the time, regardless. I put my phone on silent. I don't have any Doritos today.
That's why we wanted the phone not to be on silent.
We're all coughing, though.
Yeah.
We're just a mess today.
What's that to do with coughing? Anyway, so yeah, he's cutting it close, but he rushes to the airport. He gets there in time. But lo and behold, he finds himself in front of John Candy, who, as we mentioned, stole his cab And
how does John Candy sneak up on you?
I'm saying.
And like, you know, not to we've been down this road already, been Great Outdoors, but like, he's not sneaking, and he's carrying this big ass trunk.
I'm saying, like, what the fuck?
You don't notice that when you're arguing with this dude 5 feet away from the taxi?
Well, this is the thing I especially don't understand, because John Candy here is claiming he didn't realize he stole it from him. But, like, you had to get in on the wrong side of the cab, like, into traffic to get in without them noticing. Because they're right next to this cab, so there's no way he's sliding in between them and the door.
He put his stuff in the back, and he's wearing a big red jacket. He looks like the Kool-Aid man just sliding on
in. Well, this is what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, you're just like, oh, these guys are standing on the sidewalk talking in front of this cab while I'm getting in. I get that. But, like, you're not, you know, if you enter the cab the way you normally would through the side next to the sidewalk where they are standing right there, he would have to push past them. They would notice him. He would notice them. Like, that's already just like, how did this happen?
Unless they just thought he was like just a big lumpy gust of wind. Is all like that.
Draw that.
Lumpy gust. Yeah. It would be like lumpy space princess.
That's what I'm thinking. Like if Lumpy Space Princess and the Kool-Aid Man,
but with
a
porn stash.
Yo, this dude's mustache, his facial grooming choices.
Yeah, the hair stash and chin combo.
Yo, like,
yeah, what is with this curl he's got?
He looks like if Pigpen grew up.
Brian, do you need a Dorito?
Ate all the other kids?
No. Like if you're watching, like, Pigman had this kid that's, like, really curly-looking hair and this, like, dirty-looking face, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, if the dirt became facial hair, that's what...
like if he was one of those magnet face...
Yeah!
It did look a little bit like...
Yeah. This was a choice. This wasn't like John Candy's Be John Candy. No, they chose this. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Just make them as gross as possible.
Yes, that's what they did.
Oh God. Man. So, Jesus, I can't get that image out of my head.
You're welcome.
They meet at the airport. They end up actually being stuck seated next to each other because Steve Martin gets bumped from first class.
Bullshit.
Yeah, it is some bullshit.
Airlines suck for this bullshit.
Can we just talk for a second about John Candy's reading material?
I didn't see what it was.
So it was a book called The Canadian Mounted.
Okay.
And
have you read it before?
I have not. I'm just curious what Canadian sexy romance novels are like.
Probably involves like syrup, snow, hockey.
They do prefer syrup.
Yeah. Syrup, snow, hockey, maybe a moose.
I was
going to
say, like any maybe other romance. Oh, Jesus. Like any other romance novel, except A is at the end of every sentence.
Wow. That's
I'm coming, A.
You look really hot there, E.
Wow. Okay.
Sorry.
For the record.
Let me get your towel in.
In that parka, you're barely wearing anything.
Oh, got you right in the eye, huh?
Oh, Jesus.
I call this move poutine. All right. I'm done. We're all dying. You guys, since it's audio, you can't see. There's actually just a FEMA tent over the top of my apartment right now. The Umbrella Corporation's going to come in and just wipe us all out.
Oh, man.
Yep. Anyway, yeah, they're seated next to each other on the plane. Steve Martin's just trying to relax, maybe get some shut-eye, but John Candy's just going on and on. And then he takes his shoes off and his socks, and I threw up.
Like, all right, listeners, don't be that person that takes his shoes and socks off on a fucking plane in public places.
Let's not be judgmental. How about this? Listeners, if you're that person that takes your shoes and socks off on a plane, email us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com.
Explain yourself.
Plead your case. Let us know what's wrong with you in the head to do such a thing.
Well, here's the thing. Like, he's a business guy. He's a big guy. His feet hurt. I get it. You want to take your shoes off, maybe? it's weird, but, you know, you feed her, right? You're trying to relax. I get you. But there's, you gain nothing by taking your socks off right now, all right? That's, you're only grossing everyone out. And throwing the sock around in everybody's face.
That's, he waves it around like a fucking flag.
Yeah.
He sure did.
I know the point is to make him annoying, but, like, there's, you're pushing it.
They go all in on him being annoying. Yeah. Right from jump. Yeah. He's annoying as fuck.
But there's a subtle difference between, like, he's too talkative. That's annoying. I don't really, you know, I sympathize with Steve Martin. Once he starts waving the sock around, you're losing chance of me, like, sympathizing with John Candy at any point in this movie. Because I'm just going to be like, no, you're an asshole. I mean, they get there, I know, but they were getting close. So anyway, the storm causes the Chicago airport to shut down, so they get transferred. It is to Kansas?
Yeah, Wichita.
Redirected, or whatever you want to call it.
Wichita, Kansas.
Wichita, Kansas. Mm-hmm. So which cheetah is it?
Okay, so they're in Kansas now, and because the storm was that bad, they had to close Chicago.
Yeah.
So now he's like, all right, well, how do I get from here to where I'm going? And well, here's Dell, John Candy. He's like, hey, you know, a buddy of mine, he you know, works the railroad. I can get us train tickets. You know?
Well, first he said, you should get a hotel room because we're going to be here overnight.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Steve Martin doesn't do in time because his first phone call is home.
Which is appropriate. Call your wife and say, hey, honey, I'm not going to be home on time. I'm not cheating. Don't worry. I'm just in Kansas.
Yeah, it's not like a Mad Men situation.
Yes. Well, you might be cheating. We're about to get there. So Dell says,
I think we saw different movies.
Yeah. Tony saw one of those Canadian porno films.
Well, there is a Canadian mounted at the end of the scene.
Grade A dark amber.
Brokeback Mountie.
Yeah. So, anyway, Dell's like, well, hey, you weren't able to get a hotel room. Maybe I can hook you up. Why don't you come with me? They take this scary taxi ride, for lack of a better term.
It's like Otto from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just with a taxi cab. It's got flames on it.
Yeah, a bunch of skulls all over
hydraulics.
The place.
Hydraulics.
Cutouts from nudie mags pasted all over the top of his car. And
listen, you know, you gotta drive hard in Wichita, man. Got to drive hard.
I don't think you need to be that hard when you're driving.
Oh, you gotta be so hard.
You'll walk hard.
Yeah, walk hard.
It's not the stick shift. Anyway, so they get to the hotel. I didn't say it was funny.
that was funny.
They get to the hotel. It turns out they only have one room left, so they have to share it with one bed.
Mm-hmm.
We get a little stinger about that.
One tiny bed, too. It was like a full-size bed. And John Candy is full-size enough already. Like,
and I'm kind of surprised they didn't go with this joke, but was anyone else expecting that scene from the King Size Homer episode where, like, he would get in the bed and Marge kind of fell over on top of him because it just tipped that way?
No, because, you know, they don't, like, at no point do they really pick on John Candy's size so much.
Right.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's John Candy, you know.
yes. Go on.
Subtle. Want a donut? Just have a donut. Just eat a donut. So I'm just kind of surprised because it was a very small bed, and you know, like, I'm surprised Steve Martin didn't just, like, sleep on the floor or something, because John Candy does take up a lot of space and needs a lot of room for his snacks. Like,
so many snacks.
If he's like me, like, I need to lay out on the side of the bed and just, like, spread my snacks. Kind of like, you know, when you're a kid after Halloween, like, you just dump out your Halloween bag, like, all over your bed just to count everything. And no, you never did that?
Mm-mm.
Why? Why not?
I only went twice as a kid. My parents went. And then once was to a library for a Halloween party. And once my sister brought me out. And then they all the candy they got, they took. So I never had that experience.
That's the saddest freaking thing I've heard.
All right. Well, no more Brian's.
And it's funny because, it was three times. So I went twice Halloween and then once to
all right. Party. So listeners, if you'd like to help us get Brian a real Halloween at some point, please donate to the 4AM podcast at podbean.com.
Yeah, he'll dress up for you.
He will.
You send me the money. I'll buy candy. and throw it into Brian's bag that we give him.
I'll give it out to the neighbors and tell them there's going to be a guy coming around here.
Just give him candy and he'll leave.
Yes. It's Halloween. That's fine.
Hey, you trying to get me arrested?
You can take DeBetus with you. You can't get arrested not with DeBetus.
Don't think I stole from some kid. We'll like, where's the kid?
I'll go as the kid. I'll tell everyone you're my daddy. This got weird. This got
so real weird. Your fault.
I mean,
your fault.
Just like I'm just picturing because you weren't. You know what? You weren't even there for the Great Outdoors, were you?
I was there.
You were there.
Yeah.
Was it Joe that was missing?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, Joe. You know what? Absentee father.
Step up your game, Joe.
So, no, I was just thinking about like because he had the like the stash of candy bars there.
He did have a stash.
So I'm just thinking about him like on the bed with this stash of candy bars just spread out around him, just so he can like you know just kind of slide around on the surface of the blankets and just.
He's
grab.
Gonna roll around in Kringles or just crunch just, like it's money.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make it sound like he does this and not me, so I feel better about myself.
So anyway, yeah. Also, I'm sorry. Maybe this is on me, but like, I find it a bit awkward to share a bed that small with like another man that I know, but one that I don't. That's super weird.
I mean,
it was the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't mind like sleeping on the floor, so it wouldn't even be like, oh, dude, it's your room, your bed at the floor. Like,
well, yeah.
Although the state of the room would lead me to believe that maybe the floor was not a place you'd want to put your body.
Well, just take the sheet, put on the floor, and then boom, so why not?
I guess.
I don't know if the sheets are any cleaner than the floor,
not convinced.
But yeah.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, it shouldn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah. That's true. What I'm going with.
Yeah.
Like, so.
I mean, and John Candy, he opens a beer and spills it in bed. So
that's true.
Even the bed is gross.
Yeah. Well, the bed was gross to begin with.
It's a vibrating bed.
The vibrating bed with the handprints on the wall
above
the headboard.
I've never been in a room that had a vibrating bed before.
No?
What's that like?
I mean, it's exactly how you'd think. The bed just jiggles. It's like, it's the least romantic thing you could ever imagine.
Was it supposed to be romantic, though?
Well, it's the least relaxing thing ever, too. Like, it's like the bed literally just jiggles. Yeah,
it's kind of like you're in a very shortly lived earthquake.
Like, it's not like a massage. It's not like, you know, you're just like, you're laying down in bed, but it's shaking.
Okay.
It's not.
You ever live near train tracks?
I do now.
I mean, yeah, I do too.
Well, not that close. And I know, just talking about like, if a train's close enough or a big truck that can shake your building, that's about all you're getting.
I mean, pretty much a strong breeze could shake my building, but that's beside the point. But anyway, my father and I spent a night in a motel in St. Louis that was, made this one look like a Disney resort.
Okay.
Tale for another time.
All right.
Like, I mean, he was a military man, and he did not get undressed and slept on top of the sheets. Like, I didn't even take my shoes off the whole time. Like, I would not walk around barefoot.
If the hotel's as bad as you say it was, that's a smart move.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we did not shower the next day, or we just left, just leave. I don't know why I'm talking about this.
I don't know either.
So when they're in this gross hotel room, Steve Martin's like, I'm going to take a shower. I don't know why. I don't know why he would do that. Takes a shower.
Take a shower.
He's
nasty.
He's a three-time-a-day shower. You can tell.
Yeah, but all right. So am I, but I have my limits. Like, if the shower is going to be dirtier than everything that I want to shower off of me, yeah, it's not going to happen. Also,
well, I get the impression they were both planning on taking a shower before bed. That's just something you might do.
I get that, but it's gross. Mm. And that shower head was a lie, because no hotel anywhere has a shower head that actually produces water like a shower and not like a gentle...
But it broke halfway through.
It did break. It did break halfway through.
Well, maybe this is the problem, Rob. Back in the 80s, they had them, but they all broke.
Oh, is that...
So by the time you were renting hotels...
Yeah, it was new 10 years before this. But then when you got to it, it was already 20 years old.
That's true. Now it's just a gentle rain sprinkle.
Yeah.
Like all freaking hotel showers do now.
Or a fire hose. You get one of the two.
I prefer the fire hose every time.
I do too, but anyway. Yeah, I should also mention at this point, there apparently is a 3-hour cut of this movie somewhere.
Why?
Because
John Hughes.
Yeah, just wasn't sure what to do.
We know.
And you can really feel it, I think, especially at this point. Because there was a lot of, like, there's talks of Steve Martin taking the shower first, but it looks like he took it second because somebody used all the towels and everything. And I don't know. There just, like, seemed to be a lot of stuff just missing. Also, with the talks of, you know, he spilled the beer in the bed. Like, we don't see that, right?
No. Don't show it. They, like, say it, but they don't show it.
Oh, no. Yeah, so, like, I never even realized. I think I got up for a second, and then that suddenly, they were talking about the bed being full of beer.
Yeah, because apparently, this is, again, a movie with John Candy. I would be, you know, they must have filmed this, but when he turned the vibrating bed on, he had the beers on with him, so it shook up all the cans.
Right.
And when he opened them, they exploded. Or they just exploded on their own. It's hard to say, but yeah, again, must have been on the cutting room floor.
It's okay. What needed?
Oh, yeah. It's just kind of like...
It was so weird.
This is where you start... I start feeling that bit of like, oh, wait, that must have been a scene that just got dropped. Okay. But anyway, they end up having a big fight because while trying to get to sleep, John Candy's...
He's the annoying asshole that, like, can't just go to fuck to sleep. Has to, like, try and fidget. He has to, like, try and read a book. Then he read a book, he uses a lighter and still turn the lights on. He has to clear his sinuses. He's just making noises the whole fucking time. I wait for him to ask him a question and talk to him. Like, so what do you do to fall asleep? Huh? Like, I was waiting for some annoying ass shit. Or like, oh, I have to hum when I go to sleep. Or well, I have to recite the lyrics to some song that I sung as a kid before I go to sleep. Like, he's like that asshole.
I really can't fall asleep until I masturbate furiously.
Which I thought happened. Because at one point, it's quiet. You hear this like rubbing sound. And like, I'm like, what the fuck is that? And these guys, like, he's scratching his belly, I think.
Yeah. Like, that's the best I could come up with, man. I mean, it could have been anything. He could have been rubbing one out.
Yeah. No, the one that got me and eventually got Steve Martin was the clearing his sinuses. Because especially if you're... I don't know what you call that exactly, besides clearing your sinuses, but like the beginning part of hawking a loogie without ever spitting it.
Yeah.
That just makes me, like, I start to gag because it just sounds awful.
I was like, what's he got in that trunk? A sleep apnea machine?
Apparently all he has in that trunk is a pillow and a picture of his dead wife.
We'll talk about that.
Oh,
spoiler alert. That. whatever. At least from 87. Deal with it.
I'm sorry you couldn't sleep. I was trying to do a little something, but the sheets are all crunchy.
But yeah, they have a big fight. You know, they're yelling at each other. Steve Martin has a whole rant about how just uninteresting this guy is and annoying he is and everything else. And they finally kind of find some middle ground. They make up and become friends a bit or whatever, enough to go to sleep anyway.
Well, because, like, Steve Martin, he calls out Del for, like, all his shit. Like, even the stuff like that's, like, really hurtful.
Yeah.
And Del's, like, about to cry. And he's like, you want to hurt my feelings? Fine. Go ahead. I can take it. Fine.
You want to see me bleed? But it's like, this is like the blow it usually have at the end of the movie. So it's just like, oh, it's over now, right? Like, because, you know, you always have that, the two people, they're trying to get together, whatever. They're the odd couple. But then one yells at the other. There's a misunderstanding. They go separate ways. Yeah. They come back and they make up and everything's fine. That's like the whole movie right there. But it's just the first 20 minutes. Yeah. Whatever.
Which should have been end of the movie. Like, yeah, honestly, like, if I was in that spot, I'd be like, dude, fuck this. Like, I can get lost by my lonesome. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, really? But they do eventually get to sleep, where a burglar comes in, just steals their money.
out of nowhere. Say,
was that wasn't like the cabbie or something?
No, some kid.
This movie's full of, the cast is huge.
Yeah,
but like,
freaking no Jason Mewes just sneaks in.
Which I like him too.
It's probably his dad. they wake up in the morning, however, and they're spooning.
They're more than spooning, man. Like,
they're straight up cuddling, like, for real.
They're cuddling. Well, John Candy kisses Steve Martin's ear.
Yeah, Del's the big spoon.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Steve's holding his hand. Like.
And where's his other hand, Brian?
It's between two pillows.
Those aren't pillows. Those aren't pillows.
Panic. I'm telling you, there's no way those two comedians let that go. Like, there's at least four cuts somewhere of the jokes they made for this scene somewhere. Like, there's no way.
Why are their hands on one of your fingers? God, I hope that's a finger. Something like that.
It's like, it's so like. And that was the most tame take. Is the one that they took.
Which is also kind of odd, because like, once you got that R rating, go for it, guys. But
wow, you grew a lot once you woke up.
Jesus. So, we have a quick moment of gay panic where, of course, dude, they start doing the, you know, how about them Cubs?
like Reefer Madness.
Yes! That happened in our world, Rob. It's happening today.
Oh, man. Beware the gay panic.
It's happening today. Starbucks cups will make you gay.
You could catch the gay. Your children could catch the gay.
It could be in your coffee shop right now. anyway.
First, you're ordering a dirty chai. Next, you're
ordering a dirty sandwich.
I don't have any Doritos. I don't have Doritos.
Eat a cookie.
No.
You can't eat, though.
I can't eat anything.
What?
Seriously. It's all I want. Is food. Snack.
Welcome to my life. So, they have no money. They can't get a flight out because of something or other, whatever. They're backed up or whatever.
Once you close all the airports, it takes forever to catch back up with all the flights.
I'm just saying, whatever it is, whatever the reasoning, they can't catch a flight. So they're trying to find some other way because he doesn't want to get stuck and spend Thanksgiving in Wichita. So John Candy's like, well, you know, I know a guy who runs a railroad. We could probably get a ride on that. But first we got to get there. So I'm going to get his son to come give us a ride.
I like this through line of John Candy's where he sells shower curtain rings. And like he has all these connections just because he sold shower curtain rings to all of these different people.
Yeah.
And even when they're out at the hotel, like Steve Martin looks up when he's in the shower and there's the rings.
Yep.
Yep.
Which, yeah, it's funny because it does get like weirdly absurd because it starts out with, you know, he's got an in with this hotel because he sold him the shower curtain rings and gave him a good deal or whatever. Fine. Totally makes sense. But then he's like, oh, I sold a bunch of them to the guy on the train as well, because the train, I guess, has a bunch of shower curtains.
I mean, why not?
Yeah. I mean, if it's got, like, sleeper cars and stuff, it's
probably, I suppose.
Yeah, showers.
It didn't look like it was a sleeper car kind of train, but
yeah.
Who knows? So, whatever. This kid shows up, whose name escapes me now again, but... Kurt Connors from the Spider-Man franchise, the Sam Raimi one.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
And he's another one. He's doing the, you know, like, what do you guys want? They're like, dude, what are you doing? I don't even understand. Besides making me sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You assholes. they end up getting, they have to ride in the back of this pickup truck for, what was it, 40 miles or something? He was saying?
It was too cold anyway for them to be back there.
Yeah.
So his name is Dylan Baker. Owen.
Oh, right. Okay. Perfect.
I had to look it up because I didn't want to just be that guy from that first Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie.
I would have remembered
he's
probably
been
at some
in
point.
So many things.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
I couldn't leave it at that.
No,
I give a fuck.
Well, right now I'm just stalling while Tony opens his cookies. So why not?
Well, you could just continue with what we got going on.
So in the back of his truck, and like it's cold, and then like he's trying to get some gloves that are in the hay for some reason.
Yeah, like those aren't even his gloves,
yeah,
right?
I don't know.
He's just grabbing at stuff.
I think they were his gloves.
Maybe put them down?
Yeah, probably another deleted scene.
But there's a dog under the hay that attacks him whenever he goes near his gloves.
How the hell did you get into this pickup truck and like, not notice a dog in the hay?
It was under the hay, I mean.
You would have stepped on him.
They didn't, though, so.
So, anyway, they finally get to the train station.
Could you lick it first?
No.
Their balls are frozen off.
Now put it in your butt.
Okay.
Their balls are what? I'm sorry. You just started talking about balls and then you put a cookie in your mouth. I don't know what you're getting at.
Oh, it's been...
You asked him to put a cookie in his ass.
Yeah.
I can't follow that up like nothing's going on, especially if we're talking about balls.
Well, he didn't do it, so nothing's going on.
Yes.
I'm going to try and eat the pee.
You're weak.
I may miss the third quarter of this podcast. Like, I missed the third quarter of the movie.
You sure as fuck did. You're going for a while.
Well, you know.
That poor bathroom.
My poor anus.
You just fixed that toilet. Yeah, it's not breaking again.
Listen.
But yeah, all right, so car ride, truck ride. Of course, at the end, they're frozen solid. Even the dog is frozen solid. You know, ha 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 ha. This movie has a way of trying to be animated, but not. Like, there are a number of scenes that, like, they try to do it with a cartoon would, but obviously not a cartoon, so they come off a little weird. But, like, the car.
Yeah, we'll get there. But yeah, anytime, like, really bad shit's happening to him, we reach an almost cartoonish level of it.
I think that's why as a kid, but it's probably why as a kid, I like this movie as a kid, because I would catch the cartoony kind of moments with, like, John Candy or whatever, and I'm like, oh, I'm a kid.
Like, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, it's like good old-fashioned slapstick, kind of.
Kind of, yeah.
Huh. So they get on the train, you know, they're like, well, it was nice, you know, we enjoyed our time together, whatever, but I probably won't see you again, so you have fun on the train, I'll have fun on the train, we'll see you later, this is the end of our adventure.
Deuces.
Yeah. But sure enough, the train doesn't get all that far away.
Sure enough.
And then it just crashes. Or, well, it doesn't crash, I shouldn't say that. The engine crashes, it dies. They're just stuck on the train tracks, so now they gotta go walk back to civilization so they can get a ride to wherever they're going. So Steve Martin sees John Candy's carrying this trunk. He's like, all right, let me give him help with that. Goes over, and, you know, they're back together again. Where?
Together again.
Okay.
Together again.
I think at this point they go get food or something like that? Like,
yeah, they go to get some food, and they're going to, they decide they're going to take a bus. So we're now on the bus, and it's a bus. It's a typical bus trip.
At some point in, we gloss over it, I think, they swap credit cards?
Yeah, at the hotel.
Yeah, which was like...
It was kind of a throwaway, like, half-second notice, like...
Yeah, I mean, they made a point to, like, show it off, but yeah, you're just like, why is that a thing?
Yeah.
Just so later on, it's a long setup, so later on we can dick over Steve Martin further.
Yeah, I mean, but...
Which is also weird, because doesn't John Candy say something about the only card he has is for, like, a big and tall shop?
Right.
So what is
Diamond Club. Hmm? Diamond Club.
This is what Steve Martin has, but John Candy makes a comment about how he only has one card for a big and tall shop in Chicago, right? Or San Diego, or wherever he's talking about. But
well, they had, I thought they both had Diamond Club cards.
No, they both looked exactly the same, but only one had the Diner Club logo on it.
I thought they both were the same.
No, and that was what caught me off guard, because when I saw that scene where they switched the cards, I'm like, why do those cards look the same when they're not the same kind of card?
Oh.
So, yeah, it was...
The plainest looking cards I've ever seen.
Yeah, they were just gray.
Yeah.
And they had, like, blue writing on them, but they both had different logos.
But it was throwing me off more, because, like, when they're talking about when they realize their money was stolen and they don't have a way to pay for anything, he makes some comment about he only has a big and tall card or whatever, so it's like, then what did you pay the hotel with?
He didn't. He let what's-his-face pay with it.
Why'd he give him his credit card?
This was the argument over who rented the car, not who did the hotel.
No, when they gave the...
Oh, how he got the room?
Yeah.
Originally?
Okay, so...
Yeah, they were gonna,
So why'd they both get their card swiped by the hotel if only one of them paid, like...
Like
continuity errors.
What's his face gave him his card first, and they ran his card, but the dude gave him back the other guy's card because Neil paid for everything in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Until there was cash money involved, he paid for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So because at one point when they're arguing, he's like, I even let you pay for the room so you didn't feel like an ingrate.
Yeah, but then so why were the two credit cards handed out at this hotel if only one person paid for the one room?
To show us that they switched them and no other reason. All right.
I mean, like,
so, that's what I'm getting at.
So sometimes when you get hotels, they want to see a card for who was staying there. I don't know.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing was it wasn't a valid credit card, I think, is the argument here, but it doesn't really matter. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But so it's a typical bus ride. You got screaming children. You got apparently there's a couple just
making
about
out.
To go at just, it. Yeah. Just
making out.
And then suddenly everybody's singing along together and having a grand old time.
That's ring the ringleader for that was Dell. He's that guy. Uh-huh. He means well. Like, he's a friendly dude and whatever. He's personable, but he's just it's annoying as fuck.
Well, I mean, if he had chosen some different songs, I guess probably was bad. I don't remember what song they came.
It was
in
all TV show stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, I forget the first one, but they end up singing the Flintstones, which, you know, I don't have a problem with the song. I just, like, A, I've never been on a bus where everyone's gotten along that well, and B, like, if anyone started to, like, hey, guys, let's all sing this together, everyone would be like, shut the fuck up.
You've never been on a bus with John Candy.
This is true.
Back before there were cell phones, by the way. So, like, you know, back before there was even Game Boy, like.
For real, for real.
There were still headphones back then, because one guy was in the background with his headphones.
It was awesome ass, like those Tiger games.
Yeah.
do not use the phrase awesome ass and Tiger in the same.
Those shits were awesome. Fuck you.
All
right. Just because you couldn't appreciate it as a kid.
You could say awesome ass Tiger, but not Tiger games.
Yo, those shits were awesome. Fuck you. For someone who didn't have that shit, who never had access to it, it was awesome. Whatever.
I'm going to sneak. I could draw into Brian's condo.
Do it. I'll see you next year.
I'm going to sneak into your condo, steal all your video games, and replace them with Tiger games.
Do it. I'll have nostalgia. And I'll have
for 5 minutes, you'll have nostalgia. Yeah. And then you'll be calling me like, what the hell?
Yep.
I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
Why do you need Skyrim when you could have Batman on your Tiger watch?
Yeah. All three levels of it.
Yeah. All three pixels of it.
Over and over again.
I don't know how to appreciate things that get you to where you're at today. Listen. Without that stuff happening, we wouldn't be able to be where we're at today. We wouldn't have the Game Boy without the Tiger games. Listen, fuck y'all.
I have appreciation for it. No. I just am not going to fool myself into thinking that I would still enjoy it the way I did back then.
I didn't say we still enjoy it. I said they were awesome.
I appreciate that we, you know, all the people that it took to get to the point where we can, you know, have indoor plumbing.
In 1987, and bus, wipe on that bus.
With the toilet paper?
Listen,
I had to be able to wipe my ass with some leaves. Right?
I had a
7-year-old Brian on a bus in 1987 would have enjoyed the fuck out of a Tiger game handheld in his fucking hands.
I had a Ghostbusters one. I loved it, you know? But I'm past it now.
You elitist ass motherfuckers. Fuck you.
Then I got a Game Boy. And I got
all right.
Kirby's Adventure.
Right.
And I played the hell out of that.
When you were in the third grade, you might have enjoyed playing a Tiger Watch, yeah?
Tiger Watch?
Or Tiger Game, whatever.
Yeah.
Did you also eat paste?
No. Usually the kids who did art did that.
All right, never mind. Moving on.
That's why you asked dyslexic, Tony. I had a tiger on my trapper keeper. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah. Really?
It was blue, yeah.
You had like a for real trapper keeper?
Yeah, I think I still have it.
I had like a trap keep. Like it wasn't like a trapper keeper.
Trap your shit?
It was just a Ziploc bag with a rubber band around the end of it.
But you know, the opening of the bag worked like a bear trap. It just clamped shut. You could not get that shit back out.
Anyway,
a paper bag with a snap bracelet on it.
Cut myself some melon snap bracelets.
Just to choke yourself out. I gotta run my neck again. Help me.
So,
all right, so the bus sucks.
Yeah, the bus is not good.
Wow. I've been on buses for like, you know, 10 hours, you know, but they were always charter buses. They weren't like, you know, Greyhounds. It was like my church or someone's church, a charter bus to go down south. So we hopped on that.
Yeah, I did the, it was like 8 hours or something bus ride to from here to Rhode Island.
Yes.
It was
a long ass bus ride. But I stopped all.
I think it was longer than that too, because it went to both casinos first.
Oh yeah, so you stopped a bunch of times. Huh.
Yeah. So it was, yeah.
I've done a couple of those. Just the less said, but the better. Anyway, so they finally get to St. Louis, I think it is. Whatever. They're at a diner. Because first of all, John Candy decided to, he had a great way to make some money by selling all his shower curtain rings to a bunch of ladies, telling them.
Well, that doesn't happen until after,
kinds
right?
of lies. No, it's somewhere around
until
here.
They find out the money's gone?
Yeah, we're way past the money being gone.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
We kind of skipped over shit. We're trying to make
that's fine.
Streamline
that's fine.
Stuff here.
I mean, there's a lot of just set up in this movie that.
Yeah. This is the second diner. You're on the first. Anyway.
That's fair.
John Candy lies to a bunch of ladies, tells them these are earrings.
I mean, he's not lying. If you can put them in your ear, they're earrings.
Well, yeah.
Well, he's lying that they're autographed by famous people.
Right.
he says that quite a lot.
This will bother me because in his defense to Neil, when Neil was hurting his feelings, he's like, you see what you get with me. Like, I'm a stand-up guy, you know, I'm genuine. And like, he lies to all these customers. Like,
well, I mean,
Well, he's not lying about who he is. He's just lying about everything else.
It may be a poorly carried out way to try and show that maybe each of them are rubbing off on one another a little bit.
Maybe.
Or it's just he's acting out of desperation, like, you know, desperate times. He doesn't have any money. He doesn't have any way to get home.
Well, also, he's kind of lying the whole time because he lie of omission, but...
Like, all right, we know.
Yeah.
We know. But at this point, we don't know.
Yes.
What about his family and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just, he's just hiding.
Hurting that moment for Rob to catch up. So, yeah. Well, but... I
mean, you kind of jumped to the end.
No, well, no, I'm falling a little slowly today.
Anyway, they once again try and go their separate ways. Steve Martin goes to get this car that he rented, but turns out the car is stolen or missing or whatever. There's not a car there. So he ends up having to walk back to this car rental shop.
Far.
Which is, yeah, quite a ways away. I guess he had to cross a highway at one point.
It could be just across the highway. That's far.
That's far. Enough.
You got to cross the highway. Well, that's far.
It's more than that because we see the parking lot. And it's the parking lot itself with all these damn cars. Like,
oh, yeah.
There's a bus that takes him out there. And there's for good reason. But, yeah, so he finally gets back in. He's like, listen, you're going to get me this MFN car right here, right now. Take that damn smile off your face. I basically just has a whole rant about this.
Like, he says fuck 18 times?
18 times.
So this is the scene that got the R rating.
Yeah.
Not worth it.
No, wasn't worth it at all.
Like, watching Steve Martin try and pull off an F-bomb, it's like watching a rapping granny. You're just like, this is not natural.
But it's amazing?
No. Okay, so not like a rapping granny.
Okay.
Like a not professional rapping girl, like a church lady trying to rap.
Have you not seen, heard of the church lady who posts on her CDs?
Okay, fine. All right. You want to help me on this then? Because obviously you and I find very, very different things funny and different things awkward.
She's not about Jesus.
I can't help because honestly, my first thought was like, it's like watching Bill Cosby be a villain. Wait, no. what other name can I use? Nope, they're all villains now. So, yeah, I can't help you here.
It was like watching the end scene of every episode of Full House.
Okay.
You're just like, I don't, artificial.
Yeah, no, it didn't seem natural.
Yeah, it's just like, this dude has never said the F word in his life.
Like drinking Mountain Dew, just something unnatural about it.
But delicious?
Part of me wonders if maybe they like originally wanted John Candy to say like some of these lines and he was just like, I can't do that.
I don't think so, because from what I read, this scene in particular is part of the reason Steve Martin wanted to do this.
Oh yeah, he wanted to let his hair down a little bit.
Yeah,
his unnaturally white hair for a very young man.
I'm saying, he's gotta be in his 30s, right?
Dude's like in his 30s. Yeah, he's like, yep.
Maybe
it was platinum light.
It's like Magneto.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he had like one of those Mr. Fantastic spots when he was really young and just said, fuck it, I'm dying the whole thing.
In The Jerk, he had brown hair, right?
I think it was, wasn't it gray in The Jerk too? I don't think
it's only
seen,
a few years before this, right?
I don't think I've ever seen Steve Martin with dark hair.
I can't remember. Shit. It's like one of those Berenstain things.
No, it's Berenstain.
Oh, I know, but...
Period.
What is that thing?
That's a thing.
For stupid people.
What, Berenstain?
Well, it's, yeah, a lot of people claim that it's one or the other, but, like, they swear they've seen it like that for ages, even though it's not never been the case. And some even claim that aliens came
and
changed
Gray
it.
And The Jerk, too.
Is it like the Sinbad genie movie, Shazam,
sort of,
which I swear I've seen, but like, okay, all right.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, no, wow, that's weird. You would bring that up. That's because Shazam is real, just not Sinbad.
No. The Shazam was Shaq.
Yeah.
Yeah, but dude, I'm telling you, I've seen this. If the people say it's not real, I'm telling you, I've seen Sinbad
play a genie.
Play a genie.
Oh. Well, maybe.
But they say it's not real. Like, I'm telling you, somewhere.
Are you sure? Because you know he just wears those pants all the time.
Yeah. That's a fair point.
They say it's not real. I don't know. My brain says it is, so that's what I'm going with.
Plus, that earring is not helping.
This is America. I can believe fake news all I want to now. Fuck you.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute.
We have breaking news here, folks. Oh, God, this is so derailed. I guess it's fitting for this movie, but Jesus.
Keep going. We'll catch up. We'll catch up.
All right. So after he flips out about the car thing, he goes out and he harasses a dude for some reason. I don't even fucking know.
He's mad.
Yeah, whatever.
You work at retail. You know how it is. People are mad. He's taking on you for no reason. You want to punch him in the face like this guy does.
Fair. That I totally get. Which this guy does do. And he knocks him into the road where he almost gets hit by a car. The car, of course, being driven by none other than John Candy. He's like, oh, we got to take care of you. I guess this guy goes to help him up by pulling him up by his dick?
By his balls.
Okay.
To the point where the next 5 minutes of the movie, Steve Martin Neal is talking like, he's talking like this because his balls hurt so bad. Huh. It's like they gave him helium and had those lines, which probably what they did.
Very possible. So anyway, John Candy's like, well, I rented this car with no problem. Why don't I give you a ride, especially since I almost hit you? I'll get you where you need to be. So they're driving along. They're just doing their thing. You have something to add?
Yeah, so... Catching up again. Yes, Sinbad was in a movie called Shazam where he does play a genie.
Shazam? It's Shazam. Called Shazam?
So the same is real now.
It's real. It's real.
Where'd you see this?
They...
Because I swear.
Like, you can watch the movie online.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I know I've seen this bullshit before. People are like, oh, it's not real. It's not real. Like, I've seen this bullshit.
Wait, when was this made?
The movie?
Yes.
That'd be like 90.
I think it was in the 90s, yeah.
All right, well.
So apparently College Humor, after this whole debate went down, like Sinbad put out a tweet, mm-hmm. said anybody can find this movie, he'll give $5,000 to. They found a copy of it in a Blockbuster video. And
he thought he'd taken out like George Lucas did for the Star Wars holiday special.
Said the footage is badly damaged and it looks like someone tried to record over it. But there it is. Most of the 93-minute film appears to have been taped over. The production company that made the film has since gone bankrupt, so the legal rights are up in the air, and Sinbad is refusing to pay us the $5,000 he owes.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, there he is. There he is. Shazamming it all up.
I'm telling you, I saw that shit.
It's in Sinbad.
Is there any chance that he's pretending to be a dentist somewhere in, like, Milwaukee?
Shazam tells the story of Rachel and James, two siblings who can't seem to catch a break. When a wisecracking genie named Shazam appears in their lives, Rachel and James learn that magic is still all around them, and even genies need families. With wacky antics and enchanting special effects, the supernatural comedy is fun for everyone.
Back to this movie. Thank you, Rob. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. What were we talking about? That should fill in the gap for when I was in the bathroom. Yes. I was researching Shazam.
The fuck knows anymore. And no, it didn't.
They're in the car now.
But, yeah, for anyone that just caught any of that, remember that for next listener request month.
No, how would you find that? What are you, stupid?
Yeah, yes I am. So, where are we?
Back to the car. Okay. They're in the car.
So they're driving home.
Steve's driving, and big old Dell is trying to play with the seat, which I gotta say, in 1987, this car has seats, had automatic seats, which is fucking fancy. Like,
what kind of car was this?
It was the only car that should have automatic seats, though. That's for sure. That's for damn sure. It had wood paneling. There's no way this car had automatic seats. Power seats. There's no way.
Well, I mean, I had a 86 Cutlass that had automatic seats.
Okay.
And I couldn't tell what kind of car this was. It looked like it had all the fancy, like, the fancy plating, or the what do you call that? The name of the car. What do you call it when it's on there?
Logo?
I guess.
The emblem?
Emblem. That's the word I'm looking for. Like, it had all the emblems and stuff on it, and, like, the gold chrome and stuff, so it looked like it was supposed to be fancy.
So I'm gonna figure out what kind of car this is it driving.
It had a D on the hood ornament.
Okay.
So I don't know what that is.
Was it a Datsun? Because he wanted a Datsun.
Datsun. Datsun here.
Did they make Datsun? Oh. It looked like a station wagon, right?
Uh-oh. But like, Datsun was a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, Toyota, right? Yeah.
All right, Rich, if you're still speaking to us, please.
I'm afraid he had to turn it off. He really loves Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh, you know? Okay.
Sorry.
Can't please everybody.
So...
So
who was our backup?
So why try?
Huh? Who was our backup?
Well, that Steve? We
fired? Steve.
Steve died.
Yeah, he just died?
Died in a fire.
Yeah.
Sorry, Steve.
I burned his house.
All right, we got nothing now. Sorry. Yeah. All right, we'll never know what car this is. So anyway.
It's a D-mobile.
Yeah, he's fucking with the seat. He managed to break it because he's an asshole, I guess. I don't know.
Well, whatever. Yeah, and he's a 350-pound man.
I think Datsun was Nissan, maybe. I don't know. I can't remember.
We've moved on. So
I mean, now moved on to what?
Yeah, exactly.
we're still in the car.
To Dell driving now, while Steve Martin is trying to take a nap since his seat is like
permanently,
yeah, in the laid back position. And he's doing the mess around. He's enjoying himself with the music and everything and driving like an a-hole.
Dell's dangerous as fuck. He is dangerous.
And here we have the bulk of my problems with this movie. He's going to take his jacket off or whatever, but he gets the sleeve caught in the side of the seat. And that just like that, that's the beginning of the end for all this shit. Or I'm sorry. No, first he throws his cigarette out the window. Because it's raining, he only has the window open a crack.
So he throws his cigarette at the window.
Well, is that what happened?
Yes.
Yeah, he was done with it. So he threw it out the window.
But Rob's saying he threw it at the window, as in the window was shut, and that's why it went
back. It wasn't shut, but it was only open so far. So instead of putting the cigarette through the little slice in the window and making sure it goes outside, he just, like, tossed it in the general direction of the crack in the window.
No, I thought he put it in, and it came in through the back window. That's what I thought.
That's what I thought, too, which brings up the question of why is the back window open?
Because he was smoking in the car. I don't know.
Maybe that's what happened. That's not what it looked like to me, but I don't know. Either way, stupid.
Yeah.
It was a stupid thing.
Well, yes, but there's two big differences here. If he just chucked it at the window and the window was only open a crack because it's raining or whatever, that makes a lot more sense than he's just an idiot, which we already know. If he tossed it out the window and the back window was open, even though it's raining.
It wasn't raining, though.
It looked rainy. The ground was wet and everything. I don't know how. Yeah, the windshield wiper's going, so I thought it was raining.
I don't know. It can't possibly matter, I guess. I don't think it was raining, because I don't remember, rain falling, but, I mean, it does not matter. Steve Martin put his wallet in the glove compartment, by the way, in case we didn't mention that.
Oh, yeah.
If you're that person that can't use your pockets,
why do you have pockets?
To lose your shit.
Yeah, why do you have pockets?
Put your keys in your pocket, put your wallet in your pocket, leave it in your fucking pocket.
Leave it in your pocket.
If you're uncomfortable sitting on your wallet because, it hurts your butt, don't put it in your back pocket. Put it in your side pocket. Or don't put as much crap in your wallet. You don't leave your wallet somewhere. Not on your person.
Say
it. Put it in your jacket. If you're going to take your jacket off, put it in your jacket and just fold it up on your lap. Figure it out.
Gosh.
Damn it.
Anyway, so the cigarette goes in the backseat of the car. No one notices.
Yeah.
This guy's driving like an asshole.
Inspector forever.
Forever. Like, yeah. That's why I didn't buy it.
It would have burnt out by then. Like, so too stupid. Too long. So stupid.
Now his sleeve is caught in the side of the chair, and he can't get his right hand out anymore. So he starts freaking out. He, I guess, then reaches back with his left hand on the other side for some reason, and that gets caught? Is that what happens?
Yes.
So now both arms are caught behind him on the seat. And again, the whole time he's just flooring it down the highway. He's now driving with his legs. And I'm just like, fucking pull over. Pull the fuck over. Deal with the situation before you start driving again. What is wrong with you?
He's special. He's
all kinds.
I don't want to say special. He's just terrible. He's just terrible.
It's again like The Simpsons where Homer's in the quicksand. He's like, I'll just reach in with both hands and pull myself out with my face.
Yep, that's him.
Pretty much.
Just grab my legs.
Has anyone checked John Candy's brain for a crayon?
I mean, he's dead, so.
Yeah, I mean.
That makes it all easier to check.
Wow.
Anyway, so, no, but, like, it's seriously, why just pull over? You can't use your hands right now. I know it's going to make it difficult to pull over at this point, but, like, you can't drive anymore. Pull over. Deal with it. But, of course, he doesn't. So, he keeps flooring down the road. He somehow gets off the highway or whatever. You find it ends up in a weird spot.
Yeah.
He's coming on a stop sign. So he screams. He slams on the brake. Finally rips his arms free of the sleeves. Car spins around a bunch.
Rips his arms free of the sockets. Just a bloody torso flying around this
and
car.
Steve Martin finally wakes up and is like, what's going on? He's like, nothing. Don't worry about it. They keep driving. I guess they get back on the highway.
He goes back on the way he got off, so he goes back up the exit ramp.
Right. And they just find themselves now on the wrong side of the road on the highway. Somebody's screaming at them, trying to tell them what's up, but they're just ignoring him. He thinks it's somebody trying to race him. He thinks they're drunk, whatever. Just totally oblivious.
He's so dumb. He's so dumb.
First of all, like, if you go back up the same ramp you came down, isn't that an indication that you're going the wrong way? Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah?
Like, yeah, those usually aren't to use.
Yeah, like, they're, you know... For one, the stop sign that he, you know, tried to stop at, he would have noticed that it's facing the wrong way now. I'm sure there would have been other signs facing the wrong way. It's a whole thing.
He's not very observant. We learned from the very start of the movie, he's not observant.
Yeah. He probably missed the signs on the ramp that say wrong way.
How he didn't notice that, like, people were at the cab, arguing for the cab he just took.
That's fair. But they finally, like, they're totally ignoring all the warnings that they're going the wrong way and whatever. There's two large trucks that are barreling down on them, and they just squeeze in between them. And now we get full cartoon mode, because at a couple points it cuts to just Skeleton John Candy.
Legit. Legit.
So weird.
It was like the pirates from the Goonies they took and put in the chairs.
Yeah, it literally, it was a, I'm sure, a, you know, skeleton dummy, like you'd get at Halloween or whatever. It might have been, like, better quality, but it was a skeleton. They put googly eyes in it, said big, you know, staring eyes. They put a porn stash on it and this bad hair piece of whatever John Candy's got on his head right now. And just, like, that's, hey, it's him being scared. They did the same for Steve Martin. Because why not? And then Steve Martin looks over, and now John Candy's the devil. And he's laughing at him.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, it's just...
What?
It's just...
So... It's just, his, I guess that's his mental state. He sees him as the devil now. Like, you're trying to kill me, whatever.
So weird.
Yeah, it's just bizarre shit. But of course, they survived all this. The car just gets, you know, scratched up terribly on the sides, lose the side mirrors, whatever. So they finally pull over to the side of the road, because when they slammed on the brakes after all this, they lost their luggage. So Steve Martin, Selv, and John Candy pick up his trunk and everything. And now, for whatever reason, the cigarette seems to just burst into flames and set the whole car on fire. Like, so you do.
Yay. Now, at this point in the film, my stomach started getting really, really rumbly. So I had to excuse myself to the restroom.
There's no excuse for what happened.
Oh, I mean, there's, you know, I pooped.
You should go apologize to your toilet for what you did.
I did apologize to my toilet. I apologize. I assure you I was apologizing the whole time. I was
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
So do go on, gentlemen.
Enjoying all this? Anyway. Sure. I don't even remember where we are. Okay,
the car just blew up.
Yeah, so the car burns. It apparently can still drive, though, somehow. And the radio still works, somehow.
I think they find, at this point, they go to another hotel.
Yeah, they're headed off to find somewhere to sleep for the night. But, of course, Steve Martin had his wallet in the car when it was on fire. So his credit cards are all burned and everything. We also find out during all this that John Candy realized their cards got swapped. He used his card to rent the car, and he put it back in Steve Martin's wallet. So not only is he getting paid for this, or is he going to pay for this car, but he now no longer has his credit cards or money or anything.
You know what makes it even more fucked up? So the car that that John Candy that Dell got was probably the car that Steve Martin was going to pick up in Space V5, because it would have had his name under it to go pick it up. And so, because his car would have been used, so his name, so that's probably why the car was not there, because John Candy had already picked it up. So, yeah.
Hmm.
Yep.
That's a valid point.
Yep. So that's probably why the car wasn't there, is because John Candy had it already.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway, yeah, Steve Martin's had it, and he's like, you know what, I just need to get a hotel, so let me try and get one here. I'm going to use my Burnt Toast credit cards, but the guy's not going to take those, so I'm just going to give him the last of my money, plus my watch, and ask him to have some mercy.
Plus a beach.
He might have, I don't know. Somehow he gets the hotel room, say. John Candy, however, does not have as much money. He does not have a nice watch.
So he's got to get that beach.
Yeah, apparently not a good one, because he's sleeping in the car.
Mind you, the car has no roof now. So it's burnt away. The seats are burnt away.
He never made it without biting, so.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Listen, I was pooping this whole time, but I feel like I have to contribute something to the podcast.
Don't.
So during the night, Steve Martin, Neil wakes up. He's like, I feel bad. I see Dell out there freezing. Let me let Dell come inside. Dell, you're going to freeze up there. Come on in. Sleep on the other. Because there are two beds in this room, too. Like, to add insult to injury, like, there's two beds in there. So he's like, Dell, come on in, Dell. I feel bad. Come on.
I'm mad, but I don't hate you enough to want you to die. So, yeah. And they start kind of getting along. They read
the mini bar for some reason.
Yeah, they get really drunk. Well, because, you know, after this kind of day, I'd want to
get
drunk.
Who's going to pay for it? That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm sure the watch is worth way more than the room, but.
And John Candy's got to learn how to give a better beach. I don't know what to tell you.
Rules of the road.
Yep. So, considering how this ends, I don't think they're too worried about it. It's the basic point. But they get drunk. They start to kind of get friendlier. They start to enjoy each other's company more.
One thing leads to another.
Yep. The lights go out. And
Georgia.
What?
Leave it in. Leave the silence in for that moment. Leave it.
So. Anyway.
So actually, the night went through pretty normally.
Yes.
Next day, they're about to leave. Car stuck in the snow because it had snowed apparently overnight.
Yep.
Which I gotta say, awesome job for cleanup because like the roads were clear except for like snow around the cars. Like, but the roads were like clear. Mm-hmm. So awesome cleanup job.
What state was this that they were in?
I don't know. Midwest USA.
I mean, if it's Minnesota or one of those places, it might get rid of that snow real quick.
Also, from my research, what really happened was, even though they tried to film this in the winter, they had a lot of trouble because it was unseasonably warm, so most of the snow was trucked in. Mm. So they placed most of the snow in there rather than clearing anything out. But anyway, so they're trying to get the car out from the snow, but John Candy is behind the wheel for some reason. That's Steve Martin to push.
Why let him drive? It's his fault.
It makes no sense. But also just, like, again, not to pick on his weight. I get it. I'm a fat guy. Fine. But, like, don't have the skinny guy pushing the car while the fat guy's sitting in it. That's other way around. It just makes sense.
True.
But anyway, he decides we need to rock the car. So he puts in a reverse and ends up going through the wall of the hotel room they were just in.
He fucking floors it. Like, yep. You don't rock a car by flooring it. Like, that's not how that works.
Well, you know.
So this is what I missed?
Yeah.
Just proof that both of these people are criminally stupid?
Yep.
Oh, they smashed the front of this place up. Something fierce. Like, smashed.
It no longer has a wall. Like, and Steve Martin just, like, looks around like, nobody saw this. Let's go.
Yo.
Like, and they're off.
It's the 80s. No cameras. No cell phones.
Sure.
And this is why I say, I don't think they care about that minibar because they had no intentions of paying is what we're dealing with here. So they take off, flying down the road, and when suddenly, like, a cop, you know, hits them with the radar gun, turns out they're going 78 miles an hour, because just fucking whatever at this point. So he pulls them over, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, officer, I didn't realize it was going so fast. You see, our speedometer melted. As you can see, our car caught on fire last night, so we're having a bit of trouble. And the cop's like, yeah, I can't let you on the road. This is terribly unsafe.
He's doing his job.
Yeah. Again, this is just kind of a, like, why you didn't, they didn't need to be speeding. He could have just been like, this is really unsafe. I'm pulling you over. Because as he mentions, they don't have turn signals. They don't have side mirrors. They don't have a roof. Well, I guess roof doesn't matter, but like it's an unsafe vehicle. So they end up impounding it. So they have to find another way back. Somehow John Candy gets him back to a train station. I forget exactly.
No, what it's this would be the truck driver.
Right. That's what it is.
Yeah, the rest of the way back in.
Right.
He finds a cheese 18-wheeler, and they take that back.
Cheese 18-wheeler?
Like, it's carrying cheese.
Transports, yeah, okay.
And take that into Chicago. But, like, the guy, he feels weird about people in his cab, so he makes them sit in the back with all the cheese.
Yep. Well, at least John Candy could take his shoes and socks off and not feel bad about it.
Hey-o.
So anyway, where do we get to the actual train again?
Well,
Subway or whatever.
Subway, like once they get into Chicago.
It's once they're there. Okay.
Yeah, like he's waiting for his train to go to his neighborhood, and John Candy's waiting for his train to go where he's supposed to go.
Right. So they separate. Steve Martin is on the subway about to go home, and he's kind of thinking over the events of the couple days.
Trying to process a little bit.
Yeah, he's missing his kids. He's missing his wife. Then he's imagining cuddle time with John Candy, which was a little weird. But he also starts thinking over, like, everything he said about how he hasn't been home in ages. And, you know, I guess just because he got really quiet when Steve Martin, of course, directly is like, you know, at least at the end of the day, at the very least, you have the love of your wife.
And to roll with.
Awkward. But yeah, he starts piecing it together and he ends up going back to the train station. He's like, you don't really have anywhere to go. No, I don't. My wife died 8 years ago. Wait, that sounded really terrible, but yeah. I just
sure as fuck did.
I just meant sad moment. It's a sad moment.
I didn't know what to do. I just ate her and ran.
Wow, that's so much worse. All right, so
trying to take the pressure off them.
Anyway, he decides, you know, he's going to take him home. He's going to spend Thanksgiving with them. And then we just kind of get an awkward scene where they're all meeting the family. And
I didn't think it was awkward.
I thought it was a little awkward. So the end of the movie, this is the end of the movie. Steve Martin walks in, meets all his kids.
Yeah.
Starts making out with his wife.
He already knew his kids. He met them before.
All right, Tony doesn't know how language works, so we'll just... I didn't mean meet for the first time. He meets his kids at the door, introduces his children to John Candy.
Okay.
And starts making out with his wife while John Candy's just standing there smiling.
Yeah, awkwardly holding his hat.
And then it just freeze frames on John Candy's face and the movie ends.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Oh, I didn't feel as awkward. Oh,
they cut before like they started banging on the staircase.
Jeez.
Yeah, well, you know, it's been a while.
I know, but like, you got kids there, man.
They're going to learn one day.
Yeah, but you know John Candy's not going to be able to keep his hands on himself.
I mean, whatever.
It's been a long time for him. It's been eight years for him.
Put it in the bank. Save it for later, dude. Sorry, you know.
Well, maybe he's not saving it for later. Save it for later. Like, you know, maybe he's trying to get the road out of his mind a little bit, you know?
They're just doing it on the staircase. Then he's like, wait, John Candy, where's your hand?
Yeah, he puts his hand right up. He's getting in for that butt stuff like Steve Martin likes. Because he's like, you know what? I've spent enough time with this dude. I know his wife's not giving him the butt stuff that he likes.
I know how much he likes his balls touch.
Yeah. Just give me a little reach around.
I bet there's a take. He's like,
you think so?
Cut the balls. He likes that. Like, I bet there's a take.
I'm just picturing, like, he turns on the Ray Charles song again, like, doing the reach around. I'm doing a reach around. Sorry.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, like, that's the movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles from 1987. Okay, so on RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this a score of 92%. Audiences gave this a score of 87%. That's their thoughts and opinions. What are your thoughts and opinions / recommendations on this, Rob?
Yeah, in the 80s, I guess, sounds about right. The movie's weird, because... usually, Steve Martin and John Candy are both likable characters. I didn't like either one of them in this movie. Like, they both annoyed the crap out of me. Some of the jokes were still really funny for me. Some of them weren't. You could definitely smell the John Hughes in a lot of it too. But overall, I think it was short enough and it was light enough that I could recommend it. But it's certainly not my favorite of Steve Martin or John Candy's work. Me.
What about John Hughes?
John Candy's been in better John Hughes movies.
Yeah. Like Uncle Buck.
So, not a recommend for you?
I said it was.
Or you said it was? I'm sorry. Psh, I got distracted. All right. Brian.
So, this is a movie you have to watch depending on the kind of mood you're in. Like, if you were looking for a movie to be like... just like to be like enwrapped in whatever. This is not it. Like this is a peripheral movie. Like it needs to be on in the background. You catch it once in a while. Like catch little scenes here and there. But like if you're looking for a movie to sit down and watch and like be totally enthralled in it, this is not it. So I wouldn't say watch it if you want that. If you want something that like every now and then something to laugh at, then I'd say go ahead and watch the movie. So I'll give it the lightest of recommends. Like little ass kid Brian, you know, like the cartoony scenes with John Candy and stuff like that. But like this wouldn't be my go-to movie today. But I understand if it was someone's whatever. So I'll give it a light recommend. Like, you won't be upset by watching it. You won't be let down, you know, at all, really, by watching it. But, like, it's not going to be like, oh, I gotta watch this movie. I'll tell your friends. It's not that at all. But, you know, I'll give it a light okay.
It is a movie you could watch for Thanksgiving, I guess.
Yeah, it's like, non-offensive to anyone you put on, like...
Well, one scene, maybe.
Oh, maybe.
Except for the F-bombs, but, yeah.
But at least watch it on TV, like I did. But, like, yeah, if it's on in the other room when you haven't Thanksgiving dinner, like, it's fine. Like,
yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, you know, there's not a lot of Thanksgiving movies out there.
Thanksgiving?
Berenstain, no. And that Berenstain Bears and Big Paw thing is going to be real hard to find.
What?
Don't go down that rabbit hole. Anyway, I will give this a late recommend as well. Again, it's not my favorite John Hughes movie or John Candy or Steve Martin's, although I've seen, I think, both of them in worse. It's just kind of middle of the road for the most part. But it is, if you consider it a Thanksgiving movie, it's one of the few, so it's automatically one of the best. And it's a decent movie. It's got some heart to it. I think the characters could have been a bit more sympathetic and likable, but, I think they did fine with what they were doing. So it's a decent movie. So it's a light recommend from me. So, and Joe, your thoughts and opinions? All right. So recommends all around. What else do we have for the people, Brian?
Let's see. Oh, I believe we get to roll that D20 of fate.
Like, for real this time.
Like, for real,
the whole list and everything.
Yeah, so we get to roll that.
I don't even remember how that works.
Well, like, see, we have a master list of movies, maybe 300 movies on it, and we take 20 to pop randomly, and we get to roll to see which one of those we watch. If we roll a 1, we have to watch a failure movie from our failure list. If we roll a 20, we can pick whatever we want to watch. Whoever rolled it can pick whatever they want to watch, from whatever list they want to watch, from wherever.
All right. And
who's rolling?
Tony is rolling.
I do believe it is my turn. Oh, dear God. That's a 13.
13.
Lucky number 13.
13. Dead End Drive is 1991. City Slickers. Starring Billy. What the heck is his name?
Crystal.
Billy Crystal. Jack Palance?
I almost said Billy Diamond, and then I almost said Billy D. Williams. Oh. And I almost said every other Billy other than Billy Crystal and Daniel Stern.
Yeah,
Billy Zane.
Billy Zane, sure.
Billy Blanks.
We had John Hughes tonight, and then we got Daniel Stern. And if you put the two together, what would you get?
An ugly baby.
Yes. Hint, there might be an ugly baby in our future. What else we got for him besides an ugly baby, Rob?
City Slickers, huh? Okay.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that.
I probably put it on the list. I like that movie.
Yeah, no, well, I watched it not long ago.
Oh, really?
Also, to clarify, what the fuck?
So, all right, whatever.
We'll discuss it next week.
All the good movies I try and get you to watch, and you watch City Slickers again recently.
You can't say all the good movies when we see the list that we have here.
And what are good movies? Like, your good movies are not always my good movies. I don't want to watch Baby Driver, okay?
That's fine. Whatever. Anyway, so thrown off. What else you got, Rob?
Oh, I got nothing else. I got nothing else. We want to thank you so much for listening, guys. We appreciate all of your ears and brains processing our mouth words.
All your laughs.
All the laughs.
At us and with us.
All the good times and the bad times. Knowing you can always count on us, for sure.
That's what fans are for.
That's what I was going to say friends. You guys are our friends.
Aww.
Because, I mean, most of y'all have been on the show at one point.
Or probably will be soon.
that said, if you enjoyed the show, please check out our website at 4ampodcast.podbean.com. I forgot how the internet works. Please subscribe.
Or your mouth, too, apparently.
Yeah.
do we need to take over the duties for today, Rob?
Would you?
All right. Rate, comment, and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher.
You can find us on Facebook. at the 4AM Podcast. No, at 4AM Podcast. Twitter, 4AM Podcast. Instagram, the 4AM Podcast. You can email us at the 4AM Podcast at gmail.com. Call us. We got a number too. Website really is for everything. Hit a website.
Everything's on a website.
Everything's on a website.
Including a link to our store.
Buy shirts.
Where you can buy things and send us a picture of you wearing said things and then sponsor an episode because you want us to watch your movies so we can make fun of things that you like a lot and feel bad about it.
Stop being our friend.
Stop looking up information for us. And then, like, when we see you again, you give us, like, 1,000 punches or something. It hurts really bad.
I think what he's saying is, if you buy a shirt or buy merch, a shirt, a sweatshirt, before the first of the year, you know, next year or whatever, send us a picture of you wearing it.
Yeah.
We will count it as a sponsored episode.
It will.
Preferably with a thumbs up. Just,
I guess. Yeah. I mean,
it's not a recommendation.
But... No, but I realize that we're just going to get a bunch of middle fingers now.
That's fine.
So, you know. That's fine.
What I get every day anyway.
But you're running out of time, is the point. You're running out of time. It's already mid-December, guys.
Oh, my God.
It's mid-December. Hurry your butts up.
They make good Christmas gifts.
They make great Christmas gifts, especially if you don't like whoever you're giving it to. It's a good Secret Santa gift. You know, like, I don't know you. Here's a t-shirt to a podcast you've never heard.
Here's a shirt that says Critical Failure on it.
It does say Critical Failure. And it's got a bunch of real bad movies on it.
Which, by the way, I'm getting for our Secret Santa at the office I work at there. So
great.
Put that right
in their cubicle area. So thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week with City Slickers, the legend of the movie before Curly's Gold happens.
Okay, yeah, this is the first one, right?
Yes, it's the first one.
All right. So yeah, if you want to be our friend, please write in, let us know what's going on. But until then, we hope you all join us next week with City Slickers. And yeah, we'll see you then.
Deuces.
I love you.